The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
In Manion, Washington, D.C., who are victims of jackbooted thugs by Uncle Sam, who defy their oath to the Constitution and arrest Americans and do not allow them constitutional rights. A moment of silence for the political prisoners and the gulags of Washington, D.C., because of jackbooted thugs in our own government. I'm a guitar player. I have a couple demands.
Secure my border!
I have a couple of really good ideas.
Give me my tax dollars back! I didn't authorize killing babies at Planned Parenthood. I want my tax dollars back! I want my tax dollars back! I didn't authorize giving our military hardware to the Taliban. I want my money back!
You might want to write this down. I'm a free man. Men don't give me my rights. God gives me my rights. And I don't
Good morning.
Need a man to give me paperwork.
Good morning. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. Here we are, and I want my money back.
Well, Nick, you know, you've put in so much over your life because you're so old that I would also demand all my money back.
That's right, and I'm happy to have put you through high school with my property taxes, Doug.
And junior college and college. I do thank you for that, Nick.
Hey, listen, we're doing a new thing. We've got Dome on the phone. He is, he'll tell you who he is. We're trying to get people to call in and tell us your firsthand experiences with homeless people that are shipped out of the county.
From out of the county, shipped into the county.
Are you on there, Dune?
Yeah, this is Dune Redding.
Good. Introduce yourself. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Well, my name's Dune Redding. I've been here pretty much most of my life, but I come in from Idaho after 5 years and went back to work here, and I know I don't notice this place after 5 years even. And while I was working, I have... intervention with the homeless people, and I had the opportunity to speak to a couple that were from the Bay Area, and I just asked them, after hearing the rumors supposedly that they were shipping them up here, I asked them directly if they were, you know, if they got paid or what, how'd they get here, and they said they had received a $50 payment and a one-way ticket here, and it kind of didn't surprise me, but just kind of confirmed what was going around and what's in denial of some people here in the county, but also some from Susanville I've encountered. Now, I can't say that they're paying them there, but this came out of the two gentlemen's mouth that San Francisco did give them a $50 payment and a one-way ticket. Which shouldn't be happening, but it is.
Well,
so, Nick, it's up to us to do something, brother. I don't know what, but...
Well, we've just got to make the people in power know that we're aware of this and we need to do something about it. And, you know, I take my hat off to Kevin Cry because he is trying to do something about it.
Absolutely.
He's absolutely.
Railroad job.
Yes. And, you know, and the thing is our government knows this is happening. They know these buses are dropping off here. So the city council, the chief of police, Mr. Moore, knows this stuff is happening. His officers see this when they're in a night patrol, and yet nobody is doing anything to stop it. And Kevin is given a try to a different alternative. Will it work? I don't know. We've only thrown trillions of dollars at the homeless over the years, and it's only gotten worse. But, you know, of all the political hoorahs, Kevin is actually going out. He's going to homeless encampments. And so, you know, it doesn't minimize what you're seeing and what Annie, the lady that we had listened to from a previous show, we're the dumping grounds, folks. And if we don't start to stand up, we are going to be San Francisco 2.0.
Well, we already are, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're there. I'm out in the streets looking at it every day.
You know, I was
third world.
I was prepared to bat heads with Kevin on his homeless, but I'm kind of switching. He's for giving him a hand up, give him a place to live, but they've got to have some skin in the game. They've got to, go out and work for it. How he plans
very
on doing.
Very few want to, sir.
And if they don't want to, then they're not welcome here, and we've got to figure out how to make them not welcome here.
Well, the sanctuary cities are welcoming the illegals. Totally begrudgingly, we just could throw some buses together and ship them right back to San Francisco. That would be the way to do it.
Now,
that's about the only way.
You told me that you gave me a secondhand information that you heard. You talked to a lady whose son went out and cleaned up a homeless camp, and he found flyers.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us that.
Well, I was working about 2 months, month and a half or two ago. And a lady pulls up and asking directions, but she was from Burning, and she didn't know exactly which fitness place was, so I gave her directions, and she small-talked for a minute, talking about how Reading has changed. It keeps changing for the worse, and they're moving out of Burning, even it's extending up there a bit, but she said this here. Her son is a fire captain, captain for Cal Fire. They were cleaning the encampments up, and he told her that they'd discovered some flyers from Reading off of some folks from back east, over in Jersey and up along the East Coast, a couple places. I think it was Maryland. I'm not for sure. But I said, are you sure? She said, that's what my son told me. It's flyers inviting the homeless to Reading because we're a welcoming city for the homeless. Free food, free money. That's what she told me. So
you
can take that for what it's worth.
Well, I think it's credible because I believe it was about 10 or 12 years ago, there was a couple that moved out here from Florida and she was pregnant because they read about all the benefits that were available for them.
Well, the old chief of police, Mr. Paletti, Rob, I thought he was a top-notch kind of a guy. In many interactions I had with him, he was telling me that Reading had, at that time when he was chief, so what is that, about 6 years ago, I guess, 5 years ago, that there was over 50 quote-unquote nonprofit organizations that were giving free crap to the homeless people, and then you throw in the Obama phones, these folks get everything. They get health care, dental care, food. I mean, I see them riding $3,000 bikes that I'm sure they five-finger discounted somewhere.
I saw them scratching off scratchers for the lotto.
Exactly. I see people from out of state. So many is in here in town, guys. I mean, and they're not here on vacation.
That's right.
It's from New York, West Coast, Mideast. I've seen an influx of 100% in the last year.
So I'm going to talk to your boss and see if he can't give you some extra hours because we've got to pay taxes and support these people.
I think I'll be good with that, Nick. Just go ahead and we'll let that slide. They worked me enough. I'm doing 6 days a week now, and I'd like to do three.
God bless you. Darren, thank you for calling. If anybody
thank
else...
you guys.
Anybody else wants to give
a
us their
experience,
account. Give us a call. Call the station, leave the number, we'll call you back. Get
I
you
will
on.
Put something together.
Thank you, Dune. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Great patriots. Appreciate you. Love you guys.
Thank you. Well, there you go, Nick. There's the start to the show, and we immediately...
we're going to the recall.
We're going to the recall.
Have we got that clip? This is the big daddy of the recall.
Yeah, that's the circumstance that we face right now. Even though Mr. Pry has only been in for 4 months, look at what he's done. Look at the damage he's done. He campaigned as being fiscally responsible and being a caretaker of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars. You know, he campaigned on trying to ensure that the county didn't get sued, that he'd be a careful and thoughtful decision maker, that he'd prioritize public safety and address homelessness, and that he'd be transparent and a unifier and a healer. I think we've all seen that he's done none of
them. Well, actually, he's done all of those things, and I've decided that this isn't a recall movement. This is them trying to steal his seat.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all it amounts to. They haven't got a leg to stand on besides a bunch of lies.
Well, and the thing is, Nick, this guy is a village liberal idiot. He's useless, not useful, in that Kevin Cry, Chris Kellstrom, and Patrick Jones, by eliminating the Dominion machines, has actually saved, I think it's $1.5 million. Now, the projections from the corrupt uber-liberal ROV, who was recently at a George Soros-sponsored event in Washington, D.C., is projecting to replace it. It's going to cost a couple million, but the fact of the matter is Kevin's decision has actually saved us money temporarily, and I think in the long run will save us a lot, because the thing that these idiots don't understand is they have the opinion that these machines are fine and that Kevin and the group have made a bad decision. You and I are of the opinion they are corrupt, they are corruptible, they have been hacked, and the last election was not fair. So why is it that they think that their opinion holds more water than our opinion? And Kevin has actually not cost the county any more money. As a matter of fact, I would say he saved seven figures, because they haven't got a replacement. And Clint, our speaker from a couple shows ago, said that we could do it for probably less than $25,000 to $30,000. And why is the Board of Supervisors and the ROV not going to give that a try, and let's see what's going on? Because I think at the end of the day, Kevin's decision to eliminate the corrupt machines was going to be a money saver. And as a matter of fact, I read an article yesterday where the CEO of Dominion has said that his machine reputation is so damaged that company will go bankrupt. He did not mince words. So I think Kevin has actually saved us a ton of money.
Well, besides that, I'm not accusing them of cheating or stealing or anything like that. I don't trust them.
Well, that's what
I'm saying. That's it. I don't trust a machine to count my votes. And Kevin has a team that is putting together what they're investigating, and he figures it will cost $1.85 per vote.
Well, you
count them by hand. Now, we've got 110 approximately registered voters in Shasta County. 90,000 voted in 2020. So you're talking 200,000 to hand count those.
Well, and you know, Clint, the way he did it, just to give you guys an explanation that as clear as I can make it, is basically you can have a liberal and a conservative as the point teller, shall we say, and so you get an election, and one group of people, three people, liberal, conservative, and the counter, only have to do the telling on the vote for one race, and then you move the ballot along, and it goes all the way down. It is transparent. You can have cameras on top, and it's not going to cost millions of dollars, and it can be done in hours. Why aren't we trying that, Nick?
Because they don't want to. Here, I have a little piece of paper here, and they're having classes to learn how to canvass.
Listen closely to some of the words here, guy. This is who is coming up with this recall.
Learn about canvassing, training and education, the low-hanging fruit strategy, tips and tricks, debriefing from the field. This is what they're teaching the people that are coming out to get signatures. Now, I watched this. That guy that was talking, that was Jeff Godert. He was head of public defender's office here in Shasta County. Maybe that tells you why we're overrun with criminals.
Yeah, possibly. He's done such a bad job.
But I watched him about three meetings ago. To start with, the liberals pretty much sit on the left-hand side of the crowd, and the conservatives on the right hand. And I was standing there, and he walked by with somebody that was new, and he says, well, I usually sit over here. And he went over to the right side, and I thought to myself, no, you don't. You always sit over there. And I started watching, and they have started spreading out into the crowd to make it look like there's more of them.
Well, like a cancer spreads through the body. That's what liberalism is.
Yeah. And, you know, he's accused us of going to be sued. I don't know what they could possibly sue for. Kevin has done no damages to our county. He's actually saved us money. He is the most transparent of the supervisors that I can think of, and he does a wonderful job going out and investigating the subject that's being thrown at him.
Well, and the reality is, he had said in his campaigning that he had concerns about the vote and he was going to deal with it when it came in. He didn't hide anything. He said that he was going to make it happen. And Mr. Goddard again, or Goddard or whatever his name is, he's a useless idiot in that in public on TV, he called all of Chris Kellstrom's voters brainwashed and basically inferred that we were an idiot. Sir, you are an idiot. 4 months into this gentleman's term, you've decided with a small group of village idiots that you guys are going to remove a guy who just got elected by thousands of people and you want to negate their vote 4 months after they put him in there.
And guess what? They want to replace him with a moderate Republican.
Oh, great. I'm sure the listing starts off with Aaron Reznor or Jeff Goddard himself.
There you go. You know, I think Chris Kellstrom is a moderate Republican.
Well, Chris is, you know, the thing is...
They're calling them, all three of them, ultra-right.
Well, that's the great thing about liberals, Nick, is because if you don't agree with them, you're automatically an alt-right or you're an extreme-right candidate.
And if your hair's too short, you're a Nazi.
There you go. And if you're proud of your country and you remember, you know, mothers and apple pie and the sanctity of babies and not mutilating your kids, you're an extreme-right, violent extremist. And Chris, when I went to a number of his events, clearly spoken. He was clear on what he was going to do. He had answers. The gentleman is very well spoken, and he's well educated in what we're facing. I thought Kevin Cry was very similar. I thought Kevin might be a little vague in a couple things, but he has proven that what he said is what he's going to do.
That's right. And you know what? On top of that, he got with Nolda Short, and they have found where the state owes us SB 90 money. Kevin said it was $1.2 million, but Nolda was in front of the supervisors, and she said it was $2.2 million that the state owes us for mandated, I think it was absentee ballots.
Well, you know, that would
fall back. And he is the only supervisor that's gone in asking questions about that.
Well, there's the, Nick, there's the problem. He's asking questions. He's turned on the light onto the cockroaches, and he's exposing what was being done by the previous corrupt Cominty, Modi, and Rickards. And I think that's one of the reasons is that that new report about the FOIA request on Magrini is being so suppressed. I think it's going to illustrate how corrupt the previous, and so this money that we should have gotten would have fallen to the duties of the previous supervisors.
Well, I remember when they were getting on McGrady about something, and he said, F them, they can't do anything about it.
Well,
that's an employee. He's got something on him.
I mean, why the county is fighting so hard to not release, because that gentleman works for us. We gave him a 30% pay raise. I pay his paycheck, you pay his paycheck, anybody that's listening pays his paycheck. Why are they hiding that report? There's nothing top secret. He was a sheriff, he was a bad sheriff, he's probably a bad administrator, and yet he got a 30% raise. Why and how did that happen? And I think that goes back to the fact that Kevin has discovered malfeasance financially in the previous Board of Supervisors.
Well, I disagree with you. They needed McGrady so bad, they created a job for him.
Well,
at a 40% pay raise.
40. Well, there you go. I thought it was 30.
Listen, we've got Fiona and Don and Lori on the phone. Where are we as far as a break goes, Liam?
Like 10 minutes.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. We'll get you on here pretty quick. This group that's trying to recall Kevin, they claim if they can get 60,000 signatures or 6,000 in 30 days, that we'll be able to vote on his replacement. And that's a bunch of crap.
Well, I read the paperwork you gave to me, Nick, and I read it, and I'm not very smart, so when you put a rock next to me, I think the rock might actually win, but I'm going to go out on a limb here.
I should have put a highlight on the...
You should have, and, you know, little arrows, and, you know... But I looked, and I read it, and what I read, and I may be wrong here, but what I read is the governor only has the power to appoint judges. I did not read anything about school board replacements or... Board of Supervisors. Now, I might have missed it, but I read that article or that paperwork that you provide. Now, maybe I didn't read every page. There was some stuff that was attached. But the general thing that everybody's referring to about Newsom appointing the Board of Supervisor replacement, it might be in there.
I think our next guest will be able to clear that.
I hope so. Because
That's the case. Doug LaMalfa is backing Kevin Cry because he doesn't want Newsom appointing a supervisor in his district.
Well, I mean, who wants Newsom to appoint anybody in our district? I mean, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Shasta County is 66% registered Republican versus 30% Democrat. Why in the world would we want to invite San Francisco politics to our region? Why?
Well, you know, to get to San Francisco politics, Jeff Godert moved up here in the 90s from the Bay Area. He went to Santa Cruz or no Santa Clara College. He strikes me as one of those liberals that soil their nest and move on to a new clean nest and want to soil it.
Well, that's actually going on nationwide right now. They've destroyed California and they've moved to Idaho, Florida, and everywhere else. So we'll see how well that works out for
you
those
places.
You know,
and it amazes me, Wyoming, who's redneck as heck and proud to be, they've got a bunch of liberals running their state.
Yep. Makes
hey,
you wonder.
I've got two announcements. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to get our guests on, okay? The first announcement is Gateway Unified School District, say no to the recall. They're having a dinner June 22nd at the Larry Farr Community Center. That's 4499 Main Street in Shasta Lake. It's a 5 o'clock social hour, a 6 o'clock dinner and program. They're going to have live raffles, live auction, guns, gift baskets, liquor. It's Save the Haineses. They're trying to recall Leslie and Eli Haines, Lindsay and Eli Haines. And, you know, my attitude is, Beans Gateway School District is in the bottom third of the school districts in California as far as scholastics go. I would think that they'd want some young people on that school board and try and get their kids a little bit better educated. So if you want to get tickets, listen to this number, 530-323-0888. And again, that's June 22nd, so I imagine it'll be you announced a little bit more on the other programs, but, you know, we need to support a change in our educational system, too, because the bottom of the line, it's not very good anymore. California used to be in the top five. Now we're in the bottom one or two. And then I want to tell you about a new business in Reading. It's called The Play Space. It's an indoor play space carefully designed for children and parents, everything you're looking for, including parents stay and play, drop-in child care, parents night out. You can take your kid there and drop it off. I do the windows for that place. It's a very healthy environment. I'll see anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 kids in there from the ages of maybe 3, maybe a little younger, up to about 7 or 8. And they're in there, and they're at their little table, and they're socializing, and they're just being kids.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and it's great. And there's a $10 day pass. I mean, if you want to take your kid there for the day.
That's cheap babysitting.
$10 for a day pass, $7.50 for siblings. Now, get this. $30 monthly membership. Let's see, siblings is $15. So I guess you get the first one in, the second one's $15. The monthly membership is unlimited play. All hours they're open. Their hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. And they are for rent for birthday parties or any other thing you want to do there. And this is a, you know, if you need a couple hours and you want to go shopping or you just need a break.
Mommy just wants a nap. Just drop them off and go take a nap, Mom.
And like I say, this is a very wholesome atmosphere. It's 1824 Churn Creek Road. It's two doors down from the Kubler Furniture. It's the strip mall behind the Dairy Queen. And their phone number is 530-605-3055. The Play Space, Reading. It's an email address. The Play Don't laugh at me. I'm technologically challenged. Well, everybody knows it.
You're on the air, Nick.
The playspacereading@gmail.com. And this is a new business. We like to advertise new businesses. We're going to go to a break, and when we're back, we're going to learn something about our elections that we didn't know, I suspect.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we're back. Poke the hornet's nest. I got one thing to cover before Theona and Don and Lori come on. Today in the chat room, Pat Karts asks, what's Carl and Trisha's opinion of a supervisor having the facilities management department install a Pac-Man arcade game in the administration center supervisor office? So that's picking on Kevin Cry. There's some more misinformation. I suspect the game was his. But he told, it was on his show, I think, he said he can't hang up a photo himself. He has to have them do it. He can't have somebody else bring that Pac-Man in and set it down. It has to be them.
Welcome to the union.
Yes, that's it. So that's the answer to your question. It's not a knock against Kevin. Kevin had to follow the rules. Otherwise, I'd have helped him bring the damn thing in.
I have a truck. I would have picked it up, and I would help drop it off. And, you know, those guys are under a lot of stress, so a little bit of humor is probably needed.
That's right. If it was me, I'd have my own massage therapist in there. So, Fiona, Dawn, take over.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Say hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
What do you want to talk about?
What are you going to educate us on today?
Well, first, let me just let you guys know who we are, just so anybody that didn't catch up and know who we are. We're just a small group of volunteer patriots called Team Hope. We believe God called us to do our part to shine the light on our election systems by asking for, receiving, and uploading public election records to our library. We offer records free of charge to the public, as we believe these records are owned by we, the people. The link to our library should be in the chat. Also, we've put a link directly to the analysis of this bill that's been proposed. There's this regulation that is trying to be put forward, and so we wanted to talk about the AB 969 and some of the changes the Secretary of State is making to our regulations as a direct result of Shasta County's recent decision to hand count votes.
One question.
We've done some analysis.
One question. Is your whole team here in Redding, or is your team spread out all over California?
All over California. We do have a Tehama County member of our team, and I'm in Shasta County. Our farthest south member of the team is in San Diego, 4 miles from Mexico.
Okay, so this isn't just a bunch of local yokels from Cottonwood. This isn't Woody Clanpenny's undercover.
Hey.
I like Woody. He's okay. Go ahead.
Local yokels are my friends and family, so be careful about that.
Well,
so
we
did bring
idea.
In we brought our teammate Lori. She's also our friend, and she's here to talk about this AB 969 and the proposals. She's a retired attorney, so I just want to let you guys know we've shared our library records with citizens groups and private citizens, and they have done research, they filed lawsuits, regarding denial of these public records requests, and talented researchers, technical people, they've used our public records to stand up and demand integrity in our elections. So,
and you've
that's
opened
what we
them,
do.
You've opened them to everybody. Anybody here can go there.
Anybody that has a computer connected to the internet, which we should, unlike the registrar voters and our voting machines, they can go to our link and they can access the public records. We've requested all the communication between the public officials and any downloaded cast vote records, contracts with Dominion, with Heart, InterCivic, with there's another one. And so, yeah, all that we have, we want everybody to see, because there's probably somebody out there that's doing some research and they need exactly one of the documents that we have, and we want them to be able to find them easily.
That's great. So, thank you. So go ahead with your presentation.
Yeah. So, Lori, say hi, Lori.
Hi. When the county of Shasta decided to get rid of the machines and then subsequently decided to do the manual tally or hand counting, we expected some kind of sabotage from the state, and it has come. First they passed this law, which doesn't really say very much, except if you're going to get rid of your voting, electronic voting system, you have to have a plan in place. And that seems, okay, that seems fairly reasonable. But then, I knew something was coming subsequently. That's step one to what they're going to throw at us. The Secretary of State has a bunch of manual tally regulations, which you can find on the Team Hope library. And they are pretty much make hand counting impossible. And the Secretary of State doesn't have the authority to do this. They're under California law, the county gets to decide whether they want an electronic voting system, a paper ballot with manual tally, or any combination of both. And that's what the statute says, any combination of both. It's up to the Board of Supervisors to make that decision, which is why they were able to make that decision. But instead of the state doesn't deny them the authority to do that, but they're trying to sabotage that decision with a whole slew of regulations, basically making it very requiring that the county get prior approval for any plan they have to replace the electronic machines. Now, for any government body to issue regulations, you have to have either in the Constitution or the statutes passed by the legislature some kind of enabling act granting the authority to do that. Now, the Secretary of State has election-related responsibilities pursuant to the election code. But what the Secretary of State does not have is the right to overturn state law that says the county gets to decide whether they want manual tally, electronic machines, both, or any combination of them. They don't get to make that decision. if they don't get to make that decision, they don't get to veto the decision the county boards make either. And that is what the regulations requiring prior approval do. And not only do they require prior approval, they make it almost impossible to get approval. There is just a long list of detailed plans required. For example, how you're going to train people. Well, I did a public records request for training, how they train people in other counties. And I got the response, we don't have any records. I called to follow up. They say, it's just on the job. So now anybody who has manual system, tally system, is going to have to do detailed training explanation. And there's just pages of categories like that. It's almost...
Florida,
yeah, go ahead.
The manual count, manual tally that they already have in code, it already has procedures, right? So when they do the 1% manual tally or the audit, they already have a procedure.
Well,
they don't need a new special training because they already have to train to do that, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think I've seen regulations related to manual tally in the Code of Regulation, but these would replace it. So in these proposed regulations, they give you a plan. The plan is not very efficient.
Well, of course not. I mean, that's the whole point behind it, is why have it be efficient, transparent,
yeah,
and doable if we can make it horrible, cumbersome, and costly?
And they want it to fail. They want to come back and say, see?
We told you.
We told you so. So what the secretary, what the county should do, just find out there are other states and other counties that have successfully kept or reintroduced hand counting. And one of them is Missouri. There's a county in Louisiana. And there are very detailed instructions on different ways to do hand counting. We have we obtained a document from New Hampshire that it's an old document, but they talk about different ways and what turned out to be most efficient. So the board of supervisors should study that and pick the best, the most efficient, least costly method.
Well, Clint,
can't do that.
Nick, what was that gentleman's last name? Clint?
Curtis.
He's the one that actually designed the programming for these machines, and he has said on the radio and multiple times in interviews, he has a system, he's willing to demonstrate it, it's going to be purely, what's the word I'm looking for?
Honest.
It's honest. It's you can view it. There's no corruption. And he says he can do our county for, and that's if he paid every counter, he said we could probably do it for less than $25,000 to $50,000 all in and be done with it. And Nick and I have raised our hands more than once and said we would be willing to be part of that system for free. We'd give the money back.
Sure.
So there is a system out there. It is, Clint says he's got it. It's provable, and he's shared it with other or other locations, and they've used it. Why don't we bring him back?
Well, you know, last time I talked to him about 3 weeks ago, he was setting up the system, and he said it wasn't his system, but it was a Hank County system in Texas, and he was going to let me know how it goes. I'll try and contact him again and find out how it went. In the meantime, maybe I'll give the supervisor some contact information for you, Lori. You could have Fiona email it for me.
I'm trying to collect different information from different parts of the country that do hand counting, and I'm sort of trying to gather them in a file.
So the bottom of the line is...
It gets worse. You know, let me tell you, Okay, go ahead.
Before you go on, I want to add in something that kind of went with what you said before. And it has to do with the proposed regulatory action they're proposing. So, and it's in the ballot counting part of the documents we're providing. And the wording of the proposal forces counties to use the same system we don't want near our votes to scan the ballot images. And then they want to use it to count and tally the vote to check the hand count. The point of the fact is that we use the hand count for 1% of our votes produced by the electronic systems to check the machine's accuracy. And the hand count is the gold standard, according to the legislature. So to get this straight, now they're trying to make the voting system, the voters are convinced are corrupt, to verify the gold standard counting method.
That's right.
It's imperative that people read this stuff that we're providing and take some action. So I'm going back and I just wanted to add that.
Well, you know, we can...
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, and I wanted to add one more thing. After you verify the hand count by doing the electronic tally, then you're supposed to audit, according to these proposed regulations, every single ballot, not 1%. They want an audit. So this is crazy. This is absolutely insane.
But it's actually a good thing, because I think they should be hand counting, hand auditing every ballot anyway. And if they're running these through these, I'm not saying they should do this law, but I'm just saying that's what we want. We want every single ballot to be counted. But the problem is, They are putting ballots into our elections. They're removing them from the envelope. Now they're anonymous. And so we can count all the ballots we want. If they threw 1,000 ballots in and added them that we can't trace because they don't have chain of custody, they haven't checked the signatures, then we get the same result. So my proposal would be that you hand count alongside whatever system they end up getting passed. You hand count right alongside, and because the 1% audit is required by law, that's what they're always saying. We did a 1% audit. If they can do that by hand to check the machines, we can do all of them. Go ahead, Lori.
Right. No, that's a good point. But they were talking about auditing by machine.
Well, and you know, the thing is, this
what could go
funny,
wrong?
What could go wrong? What's funny is all of the shenanigans, all of the shenanigans are coming from one side of the aisle, and it's the liberal idiots. And we can solve our election problem two easy ways. First off, election day, not election month, in-person voting with an ID. That, number one, eliminates the fraud opportunity because there's not a bunch of, I mean, there's absentee if people prove themselves, blah, blah, blah. But day of only, with an ID, that already takes care of most of the, like you're saying, the signature validation, because now you show up, you've got to prove who you are, and then do hand counting. Problem solved. Both sides can agree that that would be let's go 99% accurate, because we would assume you're bringing the right ID to go voting. That would take care of this whole problem. And that's how we used to vote until these damn machines came along.
They don't want to solve the problem. Did you know that in the European Union, every country requires voter ID?
Yep.
It's ridiculous we don't.
Well, every European Union has a border, and we don't either. So I guess that doesn't really stand well.
Right, and they didn't repeal the laws that govern the hand counting of ballots before machines. All of those laws were not repealed when they brought the machines in. So there's no need to create new regulations, because we safely and effectively and in compliance with all regulations about the access for disabled, all of those were safely and effectively done before machines. There's to say, oh, this is a new thing, we can't do it. It's the fact is, it's just too simple.
Just throw out the machines.
Government can't stand to have anything be simple.
Just throw out the machines. The laws are already there.
Yeah.
They're already there.
And it's decentralized. You have observers. When you have people observing with in a vote with electronic system, no one's observing what the tabulator does with the data from that ballot.
That's right.
No one.
That's right.
There are no observers, and that's the problem.
And when they bring the mail-in ballots into the registrar voters, is there observation when they... Are they kept? They should be in a cage. They should be locked up. They should not be separated from their envelopes until one day, and their signatures are verified, and the votes are counted, so that not one single mail-in vote is counted that doesn't have a citizen in Shasta County associated with it that actually casts that vote, because it is the oath that they take when the registrar voters and the board of supervisors, they take an oath to the Constitution and the California Constitution, and the California Constitution says they are to guard and protect the vote of their citizens. You give this to the Secretary of State, you have handed that to them, and you know you're not doing your job. You should resign.
Amen.
What a concept.
And Shirley Weber should be recalled because she has acted without authority and in conflict with the state law. Not only that, it's in conflict with federal law, because you hear people say, oh, for the disabled, you must have machines. Well, there is a state law that says that, but the state law kind of runs counter to the intent of the federal law, the Help America Vote Act.
Mm-hmm.
It says it protects paper ballots and traditional methods of voting. It says nothing in this legislation shall be interpreted to prohibit paper ballot.
Lori, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the state law reference to HAZA and has to, and it says that it has to meet the HAZA responsibilities. And in HAZA, it says that you only have to meet the HAZA responsibilities if you take the HAZA money. So that's the criteria for requiring the HAZA law.
And what's HAZA?
You don't take that HAZA.
What is HAZA?
The Help America Vote Act.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've been helping and so that many is people vote.
The Help America Vote Act is the money, that federal money, was used to purchase these machines. I've seen correspondence with the Secretary of State's office where they have reminded the registrars of voters, make sure you get your paperwork in so you can get your Help America Vote Act, and it was directly related to machines.
Well, you know, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg made sure to put out $400 million to help us vote as well. So, I mean, there's plenty of money going all around the place.
Sorry, I blame Bush. It was the chat. The hanging chat is where this all began. That whole thing was that was theater in order for them to get these machines. This goes back a long way.
Yep.
I agree. Yeah.
Didn't Jeb Bush, he pulled some strings and make the, change the paper and the votes so the Chad would hang?
I think that's the story, yes.
Yeah, I think Clint actually said something to that effect. Is that the,
I heard
Clint's the one that said that, you know, in Florida, Jeb Bush changed the paper that was being used just to make sure there was issues. And so there you go. Old Bushies are back in the news.
That's kind of like using an envelope opener, and it slices all the ballots. Shasta County did that. Let's see, when was that? Oh, that was the election Kevin Cry was going to ask for a recount, and they had to make a bunch of copy ballots. So they sent some auditors, quote-unquote, from Sacramento to come up so that they could make sure that these copy ballots were done right. And somehow they unsealed the ballots for my county, and I'm pissed. And they unsealed them with no observation. The observers got there, and they were already unsealed. So you guys, this goes all the way to the Secretary of State's office.
Who is a raging
liberal. Yes, it does.
Just let's be clear.
Yes, it does.
Yes. And this is all coming from one side of the aisle.
I wouldn't mind someone with different political views as long as they were honest. And this is not honest. At all.
Well, I don't mind if my candidate loses if it's an honest election.
Right.
Yeah.
Liberals are not the problem. It's not a liberal conservative thing. I have family members that are liberals. They're sincerely wrong, but they're sincere. And I just think we have a problem because we have a government with a uniparty that does not think that we should vote. They think we're not smart enough to know what we want our government to look like. You centralize our votes in Sacramento, which I think we already have that problem. But if you make that in law, well, why do we even have a registrar of voters? Let's just fire all of them, and we'll just all cast our votes on our home computers and see what happens. It's the same thing.
Yes.
What a concept. Efficiency in the execution of corruption. There you go. Fire.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's just make it easy for them, because we should not make it easy for them. I honestly believe that every county should have a special public hearing just to talk about 80969. They should, every county in the state, the citizens of the county should say no. We do not give our Board of Supervisors rights and their authority to the Secretary of State. The law of California is that the Board of Supervisors, they decide how to run their elections. This is not going to be centralized because we want our votes to count. We want every single legal vote counted. We want every single not legal vote to be thrown in the trash. Sadly, my vote was probably thrown in the trash. And I have to say, the whole provisional ballot thing, you go to vote and they say, oh, you've already voted by mail, and then they hand you a provisional ballot. Do you realize that my ballot will never be counted? Because once it separates the envelope from the ballot, they can't tell who that was. They can't figure out if I voted or not. So I'm literally being told, here, pass this provisional ballot, and they go through all the rigmarole to make sure my signature's verified, right? And I cast it. That will never be counted. Anybody that's ever been given a provisional ballot because their ballot has, they said they were, had voted, they didn't give you a chance to vote because they can't confirm